Michigan is in a third surge of COVID-19 cases, with infection rates and hospitalizations still on the rise. Public health experts are warning vaccines alone aren't going to get us out of this.
This is the time for us to tighten up, because we do have good quality vaccines who would be a game changer. The vaccines would be a game changer, but only if we're able to stop spread.
This is Stateside. I'm Laura Webber Davis, in for April Bear. Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist are making the rounds to sell a message of personal responsibility rather than increased restrictions to curb the spread of COVID-19. Here's Gilchrist on CNN's Inside Politics over the weekend.
We can vaccinate our way out of this pandemic. Michigan has been efficient in doing so, and that's core to our strategy going forward.
But many epidemiologists say it's not quite that simple.
So when you have an acute situation, extraordinary number of cases like we have in Michigan, the answer is not necessarily to give vaccine. In fact, we know that the vaccine will have a delayed response. The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down.
That was the head of the CDC, Director Rochelle Walensky. So which path is Michigan going to take? Joining us to talk about all of this is Dr. Deborah Furholden, an epidemiologist and public health expert at Michigan State University. Dr. Furholden, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So why is the state in such a bad situation right now when we know that states that have even fewer restrictions aren't seeing quite the same spikes that we are?
We've got a couple of problems. So a lot of things happened at the same time that I think contributed to our spread. One, reopening did impact our spread, right? Students went back to school, athletes engaged in sports, restaurants, bars, gyms, all of those things reopened. It happened at the same time as this vaccination effort, but I don't think we've taken into account adequately variants and the fact that variants are an unequal competitor for vaccines. We're just learning about the impact of the currently available vaccines on preventing spread of variants of the virus. And Michigan being one of the states where we have the greatest number of variants, I think is having variants outpace our vaccination efforts.
Do you anticipate that as the B.1.1.7 variant spreads, or potentially other variants come into the country and spread as well, that we'll see similar spikes happen in other hot spots in the country as well?
I think that's predictable. Anytime, this is epidemiology, disease transmission 101. Anytime you increase the likelihood of people coming in contact with one another, you increase spread of disease, especially a disease that's airborne. So the variants, I think, are going to be more and more of a problem. And we're also seeing that we have our own homegrown variants. And we're going to have to do a lot of work to understand how those variants are related to the original strains. B.1.1.7 in particular is especially problematic because it seems to spread a lot easier than the original forms of the virus. And so we're just going to have to continue the surveillance and do everything that we can to prevent spread.
So I read this quote from you in the New York Times, if I can just read it. You said, it's hard for me to have hope when I don't see the basic public health precautions being implemented and sustained. And then you went on to say, if we continue the way we've been going, we're going to continue to get what we've been getting, which is these ebbs and flows and these spikes. It will be a vicious cycle and the vaccines will not be able to keep pace. And when I read that last part, I took the breath out of me, because we've been talking about this as if it's a foot race between COVID and vaccine, with the assumption that eventually vaccine will catch up. But it sounds like what you're saying is it could be an unwinnable race. Is that true?
Well, think of it this way. So if you look at the daily number of people who are getting either their first or second dose of vaccine, depending on what vaccine they're getting, it looks like we're winning because we're vaccinating way more people than who are contracting the virus every day. But think of the variants as having a jetpack, right? The virus has a jetpack, And if you hit the jetpack on the virus, it can move much faster and cause a lot more infection, disability, and potentially death than will be prevented with the safe and very good vaccines that we have available. So the primary thing that we need to be doing is doing everything that we can to stop spread. If we stop spread, we also stop the spread of variants. In the absence of those basic public health measures being implemented in every state and every city, what we do is we create pockets of spread, and then all of us are at risk. So what happens in Ohio very much will determine what happens in Michigan. What happens in Florida, we figured out, affects every part of our country. Why? Because a lot of people went to Florida for spring break and they brought that virus back to their communities. So people who opted to stay home, people who are continuing to honor the shelter in place orders and masking up and practicing good hand hygiene almost have no choice but to be at the effect of the actions and reactions and behaviors of their neighbors. So we really, this is the time for us to tighten up, because we do have good quality vaccines who would be a game changer. The vaccines would be a game changer, but only if we're able to stop spread.
So is this a case of, as the virus continues to mutate and is in the public body, that the risk is that the more it continues to mutate, the less effective a vaccine would be? So part of the goal is to stop it from spreading, to mutate faster than we can get people vaccinated?
Sure, because mutations are common, right? All viruses mutate. The speed with which they mutate, the extent of the mutations, and then what those mutations mean for prevention and vaccine effectiveness, all of that, because this is a new virus in the human population, remains to be seen. This is not a lesson that we want to learn the hard way. Right. We don't want to find out after it's too late. What we want to do is give the vaccine an opportunity to do what it was designed to do, which is prevent people from getting sick in the first place. And this notion that we can get to herd immunity by combining natural immunity with vaccine-induced immunity is not good public health. Public health is about preventing people from getting sick in the first place. And for us to do that well, we've got to give the vaccine a chance to be prevalent in the community and have the lion's share of our population protected from infection.
We need to take a quick break. More in a minute with Dr. Deborah Verholden. Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
The lieutenant governor was on CNN over the weekend and said we can vaccinate our way out of this, which is definitely in line with the optimistic tone that the Whitmer administration is taking right now. But is it possible to vaccinate our way out of this at the pace that things are going right now?
It's possible, but so much needs to be in place for that to be the case. And unfortunately, things like not wearing a mask have become a political statement. We have literally let politics get in the way of good public health, and all of the political meddling around preventing these very robust measures that we know would help us ensure that the people who are most at risk and most in need get the vaccine first, I think are the kinds of barriers that none of us can anticipate. So the optimism, I think really to me needs to be backed by real action. This is one of those things where I think the shared value that we all have for human life needs to win the day. And right now, I don't feel like that's what's happening. I feel like we've got some people with goodwill, and then we have others with political will. And I do think that's complicating the story. And it's a variable that's hard to integrate when we talk about hope and optimism for what could be.
Last week, I read that Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha from Flint, she really would like to see the state just go into a two-week, across-the-board shutdown again to get a hold of spread so that the vaccine has a chance to catch up. Is that, in your mind, what might be the most called-for action at the moment as well?
Because this is a public health crisis, I think that type of action is warranted. And we all know that the governor's executive powers have been exceeded, and she would not be able to do that without approval from our state legislature. Mm-hmm. And I do believe fundamentally that that's what's needed. And I also think that people need the resources that they need to be able to weather that storm. But from a public health perspective, it is imperative that we do everything we can, including legislative action, to stop spread of disease. If we want the vaccine to outpace the spread of the virus, it's what's going to be needed.
What kind of measures would make the most sense? Is it preventing large groups from gathering? Is it making sure schools aren't congregating in person? What rises to the top in your mind?
It's the basic preventive measures that decrease the likelihood of human-to-human contact. We have great science now around how to develop social pods within families, within households, within peer groups, et cetera. So things like in-person dining, I believe, should be suspended. Large gatherings should be suspended. Youth sports, and we are super excited to watch a local team here in Genesee County rise to the top and potentially become a state champion. At the same time, those types of events also greatly add to the problem of community spread. And I don't pretend that it's easy. And I don't pretend that it hasn't taken a toll on our society. But the thought that we're going to be in this constant ebb and flow and vicious cycle of infection and spread with strains of the virus that potentially these great vaccines will have less effectiveness in combating, that outcome is much harder for me to accept than the potential impact of shutting things down for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. You're also on the state's coronavirus task force on racial disparities. Do you expect that the longer this drags out, we will continue to see racial disparities in all facets of this thing, from diagnosis to treatment to vaccination?
What's happening is our system is reaching oversaturation. So we saw early in the pandemic that hospital beds were full. All units were full. We were turning people away. We were rationing ventilators. We're getting dangerously close to reaching that tipping point again. And nobody wants to see loss of life, and nobody wants to see loss of vitality. So if we don't take these measures predictably, that is where we will be. And it won't take very long. We'll see that in the next few weeks. I think that's why people like Dr. Mona and myself are advocating for the very tough decision to be made and backed by our lawmakers that we shut things down so we can stop spread and give the vaccine a chance to outpace the spread of the virus.
When we've looked at the city of Detroit and these kind of amazing operations that have been set up at both TCF Center and Ford Field that have just allowed for thousands and thousands of people to be vaccinated. You know, the infrastructure that was implemented and the organization of it was probably second to none, I would say, at least in the state and in the country. But we are also starting to see that those sites, even though the city is 80% Black, the sites themselves have had a massive increase in white folks coming in and getting vaccinated. And while it's important that everybody does get vaccinated, there has been some rumblings I've seen from folks living in Detroit that are concerned that that means that people in the city of Detroit are being left out, and that maybe the operation needs to change less into a centralized location and more about getting into the neighborhoods. Do you see that we're at a pivot point where that is going to become more necessary in the city of Detroit or in other cities that are majority African-American?
Sure. I think the mass vaccination efforts have been unparalleled in Michigan. And I think we've done an outstanding job. But that's only one piece of the strategy. So this notion that let's make vaccine available in places where people can access it and get access to this vital dose of hope has been important. But that's one piece of it. It's now time for us to add an additional layer and do the work instead of creating a mass vaccination site for people to get to the vaccine. We've got to be much more creative and innovative about how to get the vaccine to mm-hmm. them. And that could include things like mobile vaccination units that travel from community to community. It could include things like sending community vaccinators to people's homes, you know, getting the people vaccinated that we've been able to get vaccinated through these mass efforts. It has been tremendous, but we've now got to add another layer and get the vaccine to people where they are.
When it comes to that message of personal responsibility, that we are at this place now where the onus should be on the individual to do what's right for the greater good, do we find historically that that message works when it comes to public health?
It's a hard sell, I think, for many people, because if you feel like you've categorically been left out of the greater good, whether you be a resident living in a underserved rural community, whether you be African American living in an inner city that has, you know, come apart at the seams due to economic divestment and low political will, it's hard to now, in this time of crisis, convince people that they should be operating for a greater good that they never felt like in the first place that they were a part of. So I do think personal responsibility is important, but it's not enough. We have to demonstrate for people that we do value all lives. And before I think you can convince somebody that they should make a choice for the greater good, we've got to continue to do the work to make sure that people understand they are a part of the society and that their life matters. And in the absence of that, I think that message will fall on deaf ears for many people.
Dr. Deborah Furr Holden is an epidemiologist and public health expert at Michigan State University. Dr. Furr Holden, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show at michiganradio.org. Today's show was produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music is from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.